broadcasting life and truth around the world. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. One of the resources available for those who support the ministry all this month, Hope of Nations, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World. The book by John S. Dickerson. He's a journalist and now a pastor. And he notes in chapter 2 that in her book, The Hiding Place, Corrie ten Boom, who, of course, was a Nazi concentration camp survivor, wrote about the power of ideas. And she pointed out, in particular, what happened in once Christian Germany, having festered in the German consciousness for years and years, there was this anti-Jewish mood that finally erupts into violence. And you remember the flames that lit the night sky. It was a Wednesday evening. It was the first hours of what is known Kristallnacht, which means the night of crystal or the night of broken glass. And in those hours, something overtook Germany. Germany was overtaken as a predatory lion overtakes its prey. Previously peaceful members of German society, men, women, children. They burned more than 260 synagogues, and they destroyed more than 7,000 Jewish-owned businesses. Mobs of, well, printers and architects, professors, school teachers, bakers, bricklayers. They brutalized, they murdered dozens of individual Jews. These are the normal patrons of society. All of a sudden, they turn into this angry mob against the Jews. Germany was at the time a post-Christian nation. And in much the same way that the United States is presently a post-Christian, a post-truth nation. The intellectual class had spent the previous century in Germany gutting the supernatural out of the historic Christian faith. And that generation had a form of godliness, but they denied its power by denying its truth. And regarding post-Christianity in the U.S. today, some 70% of Americans still identify as Christian. But only 7 to 20% are measurably active in the Christian faith. In other words, as in Germany, American society has abandoned Christianity as its stabilizing center. The most industrious genocide in human history resulted from an ideology, that post-Christian way of thinking, sown like a seed into generations of German minds, well, it produced its natural fruit. The question is, what will happen in America? You know, the great German universities, as Dickerson goes on to point out, were once founded by Christians, but they had been overtaken less than 100 years before World War II by, well, a variety of forms of theological liberalism that moved those Christian-founded schools to scoff at Christianity as though it was a myth or a fable. The truth of Christianity was expelled from the halls of learning. And so from the mid-1800s until World War II, the German universities began teaching a post-Christian, in fact, an anti-Christian criticism, not too different from what American universities teach today about the Christian faith. It was a condescending view of Christianity, painting Christianity as an outdated, as a dangerous myth, for, well, a very weak mind. And the same academic pattern, well, it's wearing slightly different clothes, but the same basic pattern has been in play in the United States of America for more than 100 years now in every leading university. Think Harvard, Yale, Princeton. The curriculum and culture at Yale and other post-Christian Ivies has become as anti-Christian as Germany's universities in the decades, well, between Nietzsche and Hitler. And much like German students in the 1930s, students in post-Christian American universities today are taught that we evolved beyond Christianity, that Christianity, well, again, it is a lot of myth and fable. They're taught that the most dangerous thing about Christianity is, well, those who are taking Christianity seriously today. And it wasn't just what happened in Germany that ought to warn us about what could happen in America today. Think Stalin. Think what emerged in the former Soviet Union. This is also something that emerged from a post-Christian culture. And once Russian society adopted Stalin's ideology, it destroyed even more lives than Nazi fascism. And Mao, you know, his Marxist ideology in China also grew out of a post-Christian ethic. The unthinkable genocides and the injustices of the last century, the industrial scale killings, the starvations, all have been the work of ideologies. And of course, Dickerson goes on to say that American millennials have recently swung in this direction. They now prefer Soviet-style socialism over traditional American capitalism. And this in huge numbers. 70% of American millennials no longer believe that democracy is necessary to accomplish the goal of bettering society. And this in an epoch of time in which millennials will overtake baby boomers as the largest voting bloc in the next presidential election. I'm talking about 2020. I mean, that's right around the corner. The swing towards socialism is something that is clearly emerging in America. And will likely, as Dickerson points out, have a Bernie Sanders-type candidate. And you might recall that Sanders was the first serious socialist candidate for president in American history. Think about that. The first in American history. He earned more votes from young Americans than both Clinton and Trump combined. And this gravitation towards socialism is just one result of what comes out of a post-truth shift in ideology. The gravitational center of the globe is another problem because that's shifting as well. And it's shifting eastward. And this is both geographically and ideologically. Now, China is predominantly Hindu. Indonesian, well, fundamentalist Muslim. In 2017, a Christian governor in Indonesia was sentenced to 2 years in prison for blaspheming Islam. And the world's number two economy, India, will have a larger population of Muslims and Hindus than any other country in the world. And meanwhile, China still bans non-registered Christian gatherings, still censored Christian expression on the internet, still demolishes Christian church buildings routinely. And these, with this shift, these are going to be three of the four most powerful nations on the planet. I mean, I've written about this in Muslim, what you need to know about the fastest growing religion. But Islam is growing faster than any other major religion. It's on course to grasp the minds of one in three people during the next decades. About 220 million new babies are born into Muslim families every 5 years. By 2050, there will be 6.7 Muslims in the world for every one American. And there will be 5 Muslims in the world for every one European in the combined EU territories. Muslims, well, they're the only major religious group projected to increase faster than the world's population as a whole. And of course, as these trends take place, things will change dramatically. 106 million American and European Christians are also at risk for quitting the faith between now and 2050, with most switching to become non-religious or unaffiliated. Think about that. They'll quit the faith, switching to become non-religious or unaffiliated. In other words, the churches are emptying out. And this trend is almost entirely true. It's entirely due to the post-truth shift that's taken place in America, in Europe, and in formerly Christian Western nations. The changes that are taking place are ominous. In the view of most incoming Americans, to factually critique the consequences of communism, to factually critique Islamic cultures, well, it's verboten. To do so, even if the facts are obvious, is considered to be bigoted, prejudiced, white, racist, imperialistic. Simply put, because the West no longer believes its way of life is any better than any other culture, it will not make any effort to propagate, spread, or protect its culture. This is the consequence of the post-truth view of Western civilization. And again, the reason that I point this out is I want to give you a little taste of what you'll get in Hope of Nations. Again, the subtitle, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World. The hope of nations is Christianity. That means the hope of nations, as you are listening to my voice right now, is in you if you are a Christian. You are the hope of nations, for you are a Christian. You are someone who's taken the sacred name of Christ upon your lips. And the question is, will you allow the trends to continue, the shifts, the paradigm shifts to continue taking place? Or will you stand for life and truth, make a difference while there is yet time? Again, I want to alert you so you will stand as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We're called to be ambassadors. And that means we need to be informed so we can stand strong in a post-truth, post-Christian world. Again, the book, Hope of Nations by John S. Dickerson, one of the resources available for your support. The other two you can find on the web as well at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Of course, my deepest gratitude to those already standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. When we come back from the break, we will go to your calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
There is no denying it. We live in a post-truth, post-Christian world. But do not despair. Noting that times of great social upheaval are times of great spiritual opportunity, John S. Dickerson writes, "You can live the adventure of this era with great purpose. You can know with confidence that the Creator of this universe has appointed you with your gifts to bring light and life to this moment in human history." To receive Hope of Nations, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World by John S. Dickerson, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. A major reason mindfulness has been successfully mainstreamed is that we are so overstimulated and chronically busy. Because mindfulness has entrenched itself in American culture, Christians need to investigate it thoroughly in order to determine whether it is friend or foe. Other topics include the Jesus of Mormonism, the philosophy of atheist Bertrand Russell, how does the human soul come into existence, the story of Morgan Freeman, not God, is it abusive to teach children about hell? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
A major reason mindfulness has been successfully mainstreamed is that we are so overstimulated and chronically busy. Because mindfulness has entrenched itself in American culture, Christians need to investigate it thoroughly in order to determine whether it is friend or foe. Be sure to read Thinking Through Mindfulness, Psychology, Religion, or Both by Sarah C. Geis in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right to the phone lines. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. First up is Ron, listening in Prescott, Arizona, listening on the web. Hi, Ron.
Good evening, Hank. I'm listening in on WHVN out of Charlotte.
Oh, great to have you with us.
On the Internet. I get it on the Internet. In 1 Corinthians 15:2, Paul wrote that, concerning the gospel, "By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain." Does that mean that there are Christians who have a said faith but not a real faith?
Well, I think there's certainly Christians that have a said faith as opposed to having a real faith, but there are others that heard the word gladly, but then the worries of the world, deceit and riches, they took the word away from them, the word that had been sown in their hearts. And Paul gives examples of that elsewhere. I mean, I think about what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where he says that Hymenaeus and Philetus have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. So there are examples in Scripture of actual people who are not holding fast to the gospel I preached to you, as Paul put it, and therefore they believed in vain. And in Hebrews 3, of course, we have Paul saying something very similar. Take care, brethren, that there not will not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. So it's not enough to hear. It's necessary to remain steadfast in the faith, to partake of the graces by which you can become by grace what God is by nature, to be a partaker of the divine nature. And again, I always have to qualify that so people don't misunderstand. It does not mean that you can become what God is by nature. It simply means that we can become by grace. We need to partake of the graces within the context of a spiritual gymnasium so that we grow in grace and knowledge.
Thank you much, Hank.
You're welcome. And, you know, as I've said to many people that are discouraged by those words, remember that Paul praises God for a confidence that he has. It is the confidence that he who begins a good work in you will carry that good work on to completion. In other words, those who have an active faith can be assured that the graces will allow them to grow in grace and knowledge. And one of my favorites, of course, is, and I've quoted this many times, Jude 24, where you have a guarantee that God is able to keep you from falling, that God is able, through that steadfastness, to present you before his glorious presence without fault. And Ephesians, which tells us that we are marked in him with a seal, with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. I also think it might be worthwhile to comment a little further on the passage that Ron brings up, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. is one of the most significant passages in all of Scripture. It's a passage that is really worth committing to memory. Because in this passage, you have the Apostle Paul using examples from botany and zoology and astronomy, all to point to what it will be like when we are resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. But he starts out this passage by giving us a four-part argument for the reality of resurrection. And this is still very vivid in my mind. This past weekend, I was witnessing to two people who were, well, I can't characterize them, but by the conversation, I would say they were functional atheists. They were people that really did not believe. One person really wanted to believe, and so he's asking me all kinds of questions. And one of the questions had to do with the issue of origins. And I've often said how one views their origins will ultimately determine how they live their life. And I was pointing out that if you look at the universe, you know that there's a universe maker, that the stars, the sun, the moon didn't just happen. You see something of immense complexity. You know that there has to be an uncaused first cause. Well, the next question is, did that uncaused first cause become knowable to us? And the answer to that question is actually found in this passage. It's found in the fact that Paul is making a case for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and thereby making a case for Christ being divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And so he says, what I received, I pass that on to you as first importance. The first is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Obviously, if Christ had not died, we wouldn't be talking about resurrection. So Christ suffered fatal torment. This is of first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And then Paul says he was buried. And I've said this before, a paraphrase of something I learned a long time ago, and that is Christianity simply cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Jesus Christ. He was buried. But it wasn't just that he was buried, he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So Christ was resurrected. And the resurrection was so compelling that scared, scattered disciples were transformed into lions of the faith. They were willing to face the tyrant's brandished steel, the lion's gory mane, the fires of a thousand deaths, because they had seen the resurrected Christ. And they knew, as certainly as they knew they had skin upon their bones, that Christ was resurrected. For Christ appeared. First, he appeared to Peter. Then, he appeared to the 12. And then after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Now, Paul gives us some color commentary there, and why does he do that? Well, he does that so we might know that the people were still around. They could be cross-examined if, in fact, what Paul was saying was not true. And then, of course, Jesus appears to James. Then he appears to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. And Paul calls this appearing to someone as abnormally born. And why? He says, because I am the least of the apostles. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle. I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. Now, Paul doesn't leave it at that. He recognizes that there are people that are believing in vain. They're not holding fast to the truth. So he says, but if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Because if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. In other words, if Christ isn't resurrected, everything we're doing on the Bible Answer Man broadcast through the 24/7 ministries of the Christian Research Institute, well, it's in vain. It has no real significance. And yet, to the point of the question that Ron asked, let me say, even when Christ appears in resurrected splendor, people doubt. In fact, you think about the fact of the great omission. Sometimes we call it the great commission. It's become the great omission. We've abdicated our responsibility to be salt and light. But you think about the great commission. Remember, Jesus tells the disciples to go to a particular place, and he's going to appear to them. And they go to that particular place on a mount, and he appears to them. And the text tells us that some believed, but others doubted. So here Jesus is going to give the great commission to his disciples. And he tells the 11, they're specifically identified. He tells them to come, and they see him. Some believe, others doubt. Now that to me is incredible. And if that can be true with respect to the 11, how easy it is for us to doubt. And how necessary it is for us to continue on in the spiritual gymnasium. This means that we cannot, and I started talking about this in the first segment, we cannot abdicate our responsibility to be in church. People are, well, becoming unchurched, unaffiliated. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. We must grow within a context, and that is the church. Do not neglect the gathering of yourselves together, as is the custom of some. So this, again, is a very, very serious matter, and I'm glad Ron brought the question up. It's a question that comes from 1 Corinthians 15, and I hope this is a chapter that you become very, very familiar with, because this is your hope, the hope of resurrection. Without that, you have no hope. We'll be back on the other side of the break with a quote of the day and more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
When did it become normal for us to expect news of another terror attack, mass shooting, or act of evil? We're not living through typical shifts in a stable society. The tectonic plates are rupturing beneath our civilization. John S. Dickerson wants to help you understand what is happening to our world and prepare you to live fearlessly for Jesus Christ. Together, we can live with unshakable purpose in a changing world. To receive Hope of Nations, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World by John S. Dickerson, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. It is important to understand the sources of our modern distaste for the teaching of the doctrine of hell, for they are part of the strongholds characteristic of our times. By critically exploring these sources, we can best instruct children in the essential biblical doctrine of hell and avoid an actual abuse of greater severity, which would be their being unaware of its reality. Other topics include called to be mere ambassadors, the story of God with Morgan Freeman, the Jesus of Mormonism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The insightful quote of the day comes from the book that I've been talking about, Hope of Nations, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World, the book by John S. Dickerson, who says this, and I quote, "We are taught today that Adolf Hitler perpetrated the atrocities of World War II Germany, but that is not the whole truth. The actual perpetrator was an idea. It was a way of thinking. The most industrious genocide in human history resulted from an ideology. The boxcars, the naked prisoners, the gas chambers, these were the logical results of a way of thinking about self, about race, and about reality. That post-Christian way of thinking sown like a seed into generations of German minds, finally produced its natural fruit. And of course, John Dickerson is not only right, but he's making an application. He's making an application to the present, because there are ideologies which have been sown in American minds, and they have now taken root in a whole generation. That's all it takes. One generation. One generation steeped in philosophical naturalism, steeped in scientism, steeped in the isms of our day, including narcissism, nihilism, and so many other pernicious isms. And so we see this same academic pattern, just wearing slightly different garb. It's been in play in the United States for more than 100 years now. And I mentioned this at the beginning of the show. For more than 100 years in leading universities. I mean, it's a dangerous thing to send a child to a university if they haven't been inoculated, meaning if they don't know how to defend what they believe and why they believe it. I'm talking about Harvard and Yale and Princeton. George Marsden points out the problem. This scholar notes that Princeton's recent revoking of an award that Pastor Timothy Keller was scheduled to receive. The revoking of a reward. Why? Well, due to Keller's biblical position on sexual morality. And that marks the completion of this post-truth turn in the American Ivy League universities. So we're talking about a reality. This is not scaremongering. We're talking about what's actually taking place. This has been percolating, brewing, simmering for a long time. And oftentimes when I watch the news at night, I'm watching what I can't conceive of until I think of, well, this has been simmering a long time. Until I think of applications in history. You know, if you don't know your history, you don't learn the lessons of history, and then you repeat the mistakes of history. And you hear today's socialists talk in their 2 or 3 minutes of television fame today, you hear them speaking in sound bites, and you think, wow, how is it possible? How is it possible that these people don't know the lessons of history? How can this be? Well, this is due to the fact that most people in the university today don't learn Western civilization. And therefore, they don't know the underpinnings of the very civilization that gives them the right to speak. Ask 5 Americans, and this again is in the book that I alluded to, the actual statement here, I can't give you the details, but ask 5 Americans under the age of 30 what the West or Western civilization is. And then note how many of them give answers about rattlesnakes or cowboys, maybe Arizona, or a story about the Wild West. The ignorance is not incidental. The National Association of Scholars found that Western civilization for generations a required freshman college course. It's no longer a required course at America's leading universities.
So for the most part, Americans under age 40 have not been taught to see the West as the society that produced widespread literacy, as the society that doubled life expectancy, as a society that established modern medicine, as a society that abolished slavery, that created women's rights, as a movement that created Western democracy. Instead of all of that, they've been taught to see the West in Marxist categories, as a monopolizing, colonizing, imperialistic group of rich white people who have taken advantage of everyone else in the world. Well, the West is only rich, they've been taught, because it exploited the rest of the world, not because of its ideas, not because of its work ethic, its values, or its truth beliefs, but rather the story is always the same. And you tell that story over and over again. You finally have the boogeyman. And who's the boogeyman now? Well, it's turned to rich, white, and all of a sudden you have a category of people, Christians. And this is precisely how the Germans thought about the Jews. And so in their minds, the violence that they exacted against the Jews was permissible. In fact, it was necessary because they were the culprit. Well, the categories have shifted a little bit. Christianity has become the enemy. And if you happen to have white skin, it's okay to be a racist. The truth is, it's never okay to be a racist. It is never okay to judge people on the basis of their skin color. It wasn't okay in the past, and it's not okay in the present. Racism is a horrendous evil. In fact, a horrendous evil that comes out of an evolutionary paradigm. Many people don't recognize that. But if you don't recognize that, pick up a copy of The Descent of Man by Charles Darwin. And in that book, you will read racism, pure and simple. Now, Richard Dawkins has tried to absolve his exemplar from racism by changing the narrative. But the only way you can do that is if you don't actually read his book. When you read his book, racism is clearly in view. In fact, not only is racism in view, but eugenics is in view. Why is that in view? Well, in order for the fit to survive, it is critical that those who have less fit genes are eradicated, either killed or sterilized. Well, that came to fruition at a particular epoch in time. It came to fruition in the death camps of Germany. And it wasn't until it came to full bloom in the genocidal death camps that, well, it slid quietly off into the night. And no one in the academy wanted to admit that they had bought into eugenics. They had played that tune and played it loudly. I'm talking about Ivies. I'm talking about schools that we laud, and rightly so in many ways. But they were teaching eugenics. So this wasn't solely a German problem. It was already festering in American universities. Well, now we've sown to the wind, and we're about to reap the whirlwind. And all of this is grave.
Perhaps people don't want to hear difficult things, but it's necessary to hear difficult things, because unless we awaken from our slumber, we're going to repeat history. But we don't have to. And even if we do, we can live courageously within difficult circumstances. My parents were alive. They were young during World War II. My dad was born 5 years after World War I. He endured World War II. And yet he and my mom made a difference. They resisted the tide. They didn't go along with the tide. I was born 5 years after World War II. And now it's my turn. Am I going to resist the tide? Am I going to speak out courageously? Or am I going to go with the flow? And unfortunately, this is a message for the church, because the church all too often wants to go with the flow, because the consequences of not going with the flow are draconian. That's why I told the story of Timothy Keller. He's going against the popular ideology. And as a result of that, he pays the price. It's incredible to think that Princeton would revoke an award because of his position, his biblical position on sexual morality, but that's the way it is today. So it's not our place to be popular, to be politically correct. It's our place to stand for truth, no matter the cost. And my thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Do remember, you can get the resources I talked about. You can find them on the web at equip.org. Please be generous when you give. You're making a difference in the lives of people for time and for eternity. See you tomorrow.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. A major reason mindfulness has been successfully mainstreamed is that we are so overstimulated and chronically busy. Because mindfulness has entrenched itself in American culture, Christians need to investigate it thoroughly in order to determine whether it is friend or foe. Other topics include the Jesus of Mormonism, the philosophy of atheist Bertrand Russell, how does the human soul come into existence, the story of Morgan Freeman, not God, is it abusive to teach children about hell, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.